kinds of things that are not right, he calls us and said, you're blessed because you can still inherit and the kingdom of God is yours. You can live in the kingdom of God.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, February 23rd, 2025. Pastor Zonia speaking. Today's message is entitled, Four Things. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And now here's Pastor Zonia.
Today I like to address one of the disciplines of the Christian as we live for God. And I like to entitle it, We Can Only Give Four Things to God. We can only give four things to God. And I'll tell you the first one, the second one, the third one, and then the last one I'll leave for the very end. And if I forget, remind me. I will not forget. Let's go to scripture. And it's Matthew chapter 25, and it's verse 14 through 30. A long passage, but it's worth it for us to look at it and to read, because this is going to show you one of the great, most remarkable adventures of life. Your ability that you can give. Give. Everybody say give. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, let's look it up and let's read that passage of scripture. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Wow, look at that. Not everybody gets a trophy, does it? Then he went on his journey. Verse 16. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now we get verse 24. You ready for verse 24? Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. So here is what belongs to you. His master replied, listen to what he said. You wicked. And what's the other one?
Lazy.
Say it again.
Lazy.
Lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. And he will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's it, right? That's enough, right? There is an opportunity for you and I to find purpose in every day of our lives. And you have been endowed by the Creator with talents, with abilities. And I cannot specify which talents you have or abilities, but I do know that you have at least three. And then there's a fourth one that I'll mention at the end. First of all of us have some sort of time. All of us have some sort of abilities, talents, and all of us have some sort of treasure. So I was thinking about how to present this discipline, how the kingdom of God is a kingdom of generosity, and how those of us who belong to Jesus like to give. Because when Christ comes into your heart, you inherit the presence and the nature of God. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he what?"
Gave.
We are a giving people. And in giving, I'd like to ask you, are you giving your time, your talents, and your treasure accordingly? So we all have limited resources in time and talents and treasure, but we still have some of it. And I really believe that when you and I become disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, we become accountable in what we do with our time and with our talents, our abilities, and our treasure. And I thought, how did Jesus do this? How did he actually help us live this type of life? Because in Jesus, we find the ultimate generosity, the greatest example of generosity throughout his entire life. He gave time, talents, and treasure. And we're to follow Jesus' life. When we say, do you want to be like Jesus? People think, yeah, we want to cast out demons and walk on water. Yeah, sure. But there's much more than Jesus did. That's not what this is about. What we were about is emulating, being like Jesus, serving Jesus, serving God, serving our community. And we see Jesus in all through his life that he gave those three and one more. Let's look at the gift of presence, which is time. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He took time to pray. What a concept. Some of us want to pray without giving time. Now, all of us pray in the freeway. But this is taking time and going into a solitary place, being purposeful, being engaged in taking time to be alone with God where he prayed. Intentionality in your life and in my life. How are we giving our time? How are we setting a set time for prayer and communion with our Father, with our Lord? Modeling the whole concept that God is important in my life and I will give him my time. But not only did Jesus give time to God, he also gave time to others. Time to others, to listen, to teach, to heal. He gave of himself. He had the gift of presence. You know, when people say, I won't be in church, but I'll be there in spirit, that scares me so much to think that we have disembodied spirits floating around. Jesus took time with people, gave time. Crowds came to him, but also individuals came to him. And he was always ready and able, wanting to help and listen. when you think that Jesus was never too busy to be present with those in need, it teaches you and me that there should be, we should have a life that is not so busy. We should try to live the unhurried life where we can pause and offer ministry and relationships. Give time to God and give time to people. Giving time. Very simple. So I'm challenging you this morning. How are you giving your time? How do you use your time? Are we giving it with generosity to God? Are we generous or are we stingy? Sometimes, you know, I've been doing pastoring for so many decades, I forget. But I don't ever remember not giving time to people who were in need. Oh, there are times that I didn't come through for many other reasons. But it was never an unwillingness to listen and to give time. A pastor has to smell like sheep, not like executives and CEOs. I just said a lot right there, but anyway. And so evaluate how you use your time. Evaluate the generosity of your heart to give something that can only be used once, your time. Are you giving your time to the Lord? Are you giving time to the ministry God has called you to? What is your time? Do you take time for prayer? Do you take time for service? Do you take time for relationships? That reflects the heart of a disciple of Christ. We're into this so that we can be more like Jesus, and we want Jesus to teach us how to live life. We don't come to Christ and get saved and say, oh, I got my passport, I got my visa to go to heaven. We're called to follow him every day of our lives. We are to learn from him. And even more than that, we are to learn in such a way that he directs our paths on our lives every single day. It's not so much reading about him, but being with him, taking time with him. So I just want you to know that all of us have the same 24 hours. We all got the same amount of time. It's how you use your time that makes a difference in your life. Are you giving the time that you need? Time is very important. It's something that you can never replace. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's gone. Sister, yesterday, all your troubles were so far away. Your birthday coming up. You cannot repay that. The second thing that Jesus did, he gave of his talents. And with talents, I want to speak to you about your skills, your abilities. The parable of the talents is very powerful because this is that all of us have talents. All of you, every single one of us, we will someday have to account for what we have done with our life according to our ability. The Lord endowed us with certain gifts, certain abilities, and he's expecting us to be good stewards of what he's given us. We're supposed to process the gifts that he's given us for his glory, because it says that he's going to come back. And he's going to say, I gave you this, I gave you that. What have you done with your life? And all of us have abilities that we need to invest for the kingdom of God. What I like about this is that he will judge us according to what he has given us. He will not judge you for something he has not given you. So he has given you gifts, talents. See, the Lord will never, ever hold me to account why I did not sing a solo in the church. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to get a price because I didn't do that, you know. But there's some of you who can sing. There's some of you who can play an instrument. There's some of you who can speak well. There's some of you who can work in the premises of the church. There's some of you who can work in the neighborhood. He's given you abilities. You can be a carpenter. You can be a gardener. You have certain abilities, and those talents need to be deployed for the glory of the Lord. So Jesus uses talents. That's important for me to say this to you. But you very well know that his talents were immeasurable. His teaching. He told us the truth. He told us the truth. He healed people who were sick. He led the church. He fulfilled his mission. And his actions and words were perfectly arranged to fulfill his mission in life. His tasks, his abilities, led to fulfill the mission of God in his life. And he was able to say, "It is done. It is over. That's it. Into your hands I commit my spirit." He encouraged others to use their talents too for the kingdom of God. He even one time dared to say, the things that I do, the works that I do, you will do greater works. He was never stingy as to our ability in the hands of God. The apostles, good grief, they were trained to use their talents to spread the gospel. I mean, think of Paul. Paul was a scholar and also a tent maker, the two extremes, working with the hands and working with the brain. And he used both of them to fulfill the mission that God had given him, the use of talents. So I'm asking you, where are your talents? I guess right now we should have the music, America's Got Talent. Huh? But you have talents. You have abilities. You can do a lot of things. You just need to deploy them. You just need to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be used of you." Some of you are excellent teachers. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. Others love art. Others, music. Your talents, whatever they may be, you need to use them for the glory of God. At the end of this sermon, this service, as the Lord speaks to you, you need to start surrendering your talents and we're going to start discovering you. So you can do this? You can do that? No kidding. Really? Yeah. Here it is. I knew it was going to be very quiet. But are you using the talents that God has given you? Are you doing with the dedication that Jesus did? I mean, we want to be like Jesus. He gave everything he had for you and for me. And you and I, with our talents, we need to say, "Lord, I want to be used of you. I'm ready, Lord, for whatever you're asking me to do. You've given me the ability to do certain things. I will do them." And trust me, we're need. I was going to have a handout with all the needs that we have in the church for you to just check. Now I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you, and you come up to me or to Wilma or to Jeff or any one of us and say, "I want to do this." So it's generosity from your heart, willing to share the things you have because they were given to God, from God to you, to use and to deploy. Well, there's a third one. You know what the third one is, of course, it's coming. It's your time, your talent, and your resources, your treasure. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, famous Sermon on the Mount we've been talking about, speaking about, that if you ever want to know how you and I are to live in this world as disciples and followers of Christ, we read the Sermon on the Mount, and we are just, flattened because we see what God is, how God wants us to fix and model our life. And he says to us, who may be impoverished we may be shackled, we may have deficiencies, we may have all kinds of things that are not right. He calls us and said, you're blessed because you can still inherit and the kingdom of God is yours. You can live in the kingdom of God in spite of all of the so-called deficiencies that you see in your own life and the world accuses you. You're blessed. And he goes on saying, you know, as you are, as you come into God's kingdom, I want you to know that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. The transformation that God has in store for you and for me as we walk with him. So don't tell me that you cannot be used of the Lord, because the Lord uses everyone who comes to him. He will never despise someone who would come to him. So in Matthew chapter 6, among all the things that he says we should be able to imitate by following Christ, is what he says in verse 19 through 21. Just one verse. It says, do not store up yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. So what he's saying here is that we have finances to our disposal. And he speaks about finances. Your finances and my finances, and sometimes we say, how dare he does that? Everything you have has been given to you by God. There is nothing that you have that has not been given to you by God. And so when you and I begin to see how we can be a blessing in the world, we are not to hoard the money that we have. We are to have a heart that is generous to invest in the kingdom of God. And giving of our financial resources is a way to set up eternal treasures, demonstrating where your heart is in the things of God. You know, this is a wonderful church. God has blessed me as being your pastor. And I don't know if he's blessed you by me being your pastor, but it's okay. Don't have to say anything. But we've been in this church. I've been in this church for 46 years. Actually, in all of our lives as we have served, there's always been people who gave. Not because they were pushed, but because they were grateful. And they gave. And some people have given out of their, quote, their need, only to see the Lord bless their lives. We're up to date in the church. We don't owe. We pay. We pay our bills, and at the end of the month, we say, whoa, 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 whoa. Like you do, right? You know, with the economy the way it is, this is when I don't want to miss giving my tithes, because I have to have the Lord bless me. And if I cheat on my tithes, I'm cheating on myself. You know, sometimes I fill up the gas tank. Oh dear God, isn't that one of the best ways to know where you are economically? It used to be $45 for a tank full. Right now I'm still at $75. But, you know, I pray, Lord, let it last longer. I know, you laugh at me. But Lord, somehow, some way, your hand upon this automobile. And, you know, somehow, some way, I don't feel the pressures that I'm going to go broke because the Lord watches over me. The Lord watches over me. So I'm not afraid to give to the Lord my tithe, which is 10% of my income. I'm not afraid to do that. And then some more with offerings. And God blesses us. I'm at a point in my life where I could retire, and God has blessed us. God has blessed us. God has blessed us. God has blessed us. Hey, thank God for Social Security. thank God for retirement. But we've invested all these years because we are not afraid to invest in God's kingdom. And my heart is in the things of God. You know, one day the Lord's going to take us, and what will remain? This will remain. God's people will remain. The church will remain. Jesus, of course, he modeled his generosity, sacrificial generosity. He was always willing to be poor in spirit and teaching, giving it to everybody, the rich young ruler, and how he spoke to him. And Jesus was supported by others who gave financially resources to him to sustain his ministry. Women like Mary Magdalene provided for Jesus and others. So Jesus knew what it was to receive generosity from those who surrounded him. So my question to you is, how is your money life? Not love life, but that's too problematic. Where are you doing? How are you giving? Because it's part of being a disciple of Christ. It's part of fulfilling your role as a follower of Jesus Christ. So Jesus wants you to know that if you give, he will bless you. He will bless you back. But the reason you give is not to get blessed back. You give because you've already been given. And so you and I do not invest in the things of this world, but we send our money up to heaven. Our treasure is in the things that are eternal. We support the poor. We fund missions. We help those who are in need. We do all of that here in the church, by the way. And we do it in such a way that our right hand does not know what the left does. The Lord knows how we have done things, and the church council knows of that. And when there is a need, we make sure that need is taken care of. Always with what we receive from you. So you give according to how God has blessed you. So in conclusion, before I give you the fourth one, Jesus' example of giving time, talents, and treasure was immense. Jesus gave all of those things. He did. And he did it to show us how we live in the kingdom of God. He showed us that this is how his life is lived. Our focus is on God's kingdom. And so I not only need to come to church, not only do I need to come and give my life to him, but I need to live a life that shows the generosity of the kingdom of God. So the final challenge for you and for me is my life reflecting the priorities of Christ? Have you prayerfully considered how you give your time and your talent and your treasure? Because they're important to your walk with the Lord. So we said that generosity is a spiritual discipline, giving of yourself in these three areas, your time, your talents, and treasure. But the scripture says that we are to give with a cheerful heart, with happiness in our heart. It also says that all of us who know the Lord and we give sparingly, we will reap sparingly. That there is a way in which God equates our volunteerism, our generosity of spirit. There's an equation in the way in which God balances our lives. When you trust God with your time, when you trust God with your talents, when you trust God with your treasure, he blesses you in all those three. So you had 5 and you got 10. And the other one had what? 2? Was it 2? And he got 4. And then one who only had 1 that buried his talent, he took it away and gave it to the one who had 10. And I think there's a lot of you here who have 10. You're going to have 11 and 12. And God has a way of blessing us. But his way of blessing us, the last thing you're going to hear from me is saying that if you give, God is going to give you a mint coat or a Cadillac. Doesn't work that way. God invests in your life in ways that supersede any material gain. But you have to trust him. You have to trust him with your time, most valuable possession. You have to trust him with your talents that he can use you. It's a step of faith. And you have to trust him with your treasure. But there's a fourth thing that you can also give that nobody else can do, and that's your life to God. Because this only works for those people who know Jesus Christ. And you're the only one who can say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Lord, here I am. I am a sinner in need of salvation. Because if you don't give your heart to the Lord and decide to serve him and follow him, the Bible tells us that there are consequences to you. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There's a new way of living. There's a new way of thinking through life, and that's God's kingdom. That's the presence of Jesus in your life. You must eventually come to grips with a decision in your heart. Do I follow God? Do I follow Christ? Or I don't follow him? And when you follow him, then everything falls into place. But you're the only one that can give your life to him. I cannot give it in your place. You're the only one who can say, Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I want to come to you. I want my sins to be forgiven, and I want to live for you. And that only comes when the Spirit of God convicts you, brings into your heart the need for God. And when you have that need for God, you come to him, and a revolution takes place, and you're no longer the same. You are, what the Bible says, born again. You start living life differently because Christ is in your heart. And it's a transformation, an evolution of life. You no longer live for yourself, but you live for the one who died for you. You live for Jesus. You say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And Christ begins to be formed in your life. And my goodness, what a change of perspective. What a change of life. It's an epicenter of transformation that only Jesus can do. How many have given your life to Jesus? Let me see your hands. See? Those of you who have not, ask any one of those who raised their hand and say, is it better now? Oh, my goodness. You can't compare it. Because he takes your life and changes it for good. He forgives your sins. That's a big deal. Hey, that's a very big deal. I'll say it again. It's the biggest deal in the world. Because the Bible says that we all come short of the glory of God. None of us can make it with our own efforts. The best efforts we can put forth, it's like filthy rags of unrighteousness. It just doesn't. You smell. You stink. Hueles. Huele a podrido. Jesus comes and changes that. And you smell like the lily of the valley, like the roses in the garden, the perfume of Jesus in your life. But you must say, I give you my life, Lord. You can say that right now in your heart. Lord, I give you my life. And when you give him your life in your heart, say, Lord, here it is. The Lord understands your power of will. And he's given you this ability to say yes. And so you say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. Yes, transform me. Yes, forgive my sins. Yes, I want to follow you. Yes, that's when the transformation comes. But you must do that in your heart. And after you've done in your heart, come and tell me. Or tell somebody, hey, I've asked Jesus to come into my life. You know, many people can come forward, but that doesn't mean anything unless you have made a decision in your life. So we have sometimes to say, if you want Christ to come into your life, come forward. It's perfectly fine. I'm not condemning that, but I'm saying much more important, right where you are right now, you can say, Jesus, come into my life, and he will. So give cheerfully. Give your time, give your talents, give your treasure and give your heart to Jesus. And you will be the happiest, most wonderful human being in the entire planet because God is with you and for you, and God will never leave you, will never, ever, 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 ever give up on you. And the day you die, and you will, you'll go right into the presence of Jesus. And then you will also sing Majesty. Surrounded by millions and millions and millions of people who have given their life to Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Andy, would you come up? You know, we want to sing something this morning that accommodates to the message somewhat, somehow. But the important thing for me, for you, is to just ask the Lord, Lord, give me generosity of spirit. We're talking to those who know the Lord. Lord, allow my spirit to be joined with yours. Lord, I don't want to be Scrooge. I think I said it right. El inglés a veces me vuelve loco. But I want to really come clean, Lord. I really want to give time, whatever time we have. I also, Lord, want to surrender my abilities to you, Lord. And yes, Lord, if you take whatever I have, I'll give that too. And then watch and see God bless you. Bless you, bless you. Reap, give with abundance. Just give. And then see the reaping, the blessings. Oh, gosh. I mean, you won't have to take pills at night to sleep. He gives you sleep. All of a sudden, you don't see the doctor that much anyway. Well, you go because you like him, but that's all. All of a sudden, your bills are getting paid. And you look at the checkbook and it's almost like in zero, and yet you don't feel it. You don't have anguish. You have peace because the King of Kings lives in your heart. And you have a generosity of spirit that just takes care of things for you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hymn of the church, huh? People wrote hymns like that because they came out of their heart and their experience with God. And when it says, take my whole life, that's discipleship. How many disciples of Jesus do we have? All right. That's wonderful. Good. Wonderful. How many want to give your heart to Jesus? Raise your hand. Oh, look at that. My goodness. I thought you were saved. Okay. Fine. No, really, honestly, Christ in your heart, it will make all the difference in your life. Okay, Andy, one more time, just the first chorus,
yes.
And we'll dismiss with this.
Take my life and let it be calm. Impulse of thy love.
I want to rededicate my life to the Lord this morning. Don't you? Lord, here it is, my life. That's wonderful. All right, church, we could go on, but I'm going to let you go. So, all right, so this is the day that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.